dirt.
Sit down, man.
Lean back.
Sit down, man.
Red Paul.
Sit down, man.
LL Cool J.
Sit down, man.
Netanyahu.
Sit down, man.
Sarah Palin.
Sit down, man.
Newt Gingrich.
Sit down, man.
Toby Keith.
Sit down, man.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is British documentarian Nick Broomfield, whose latest feature documentary, Sarah Palin, You Betcha, opens in theatres tomorrow. He is the recipient of a number of awards, including the Sundance First Prize, the British Academy Award, Prix Italia, and many more. His best-known works include Kurt and Courtney, Soldier Girl, Eileen, The Life and Death of a Serial Killer, Tracking Down Maggie, and Hollywood Madam. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nick Broomfield.
Hi, how do you do, Ian?
Good to talk to you, Nick. And your film that opens tomorrow, you actually did some serious legwork on this, months and months up in Wasilla, Alaska.
Serious legwork with lots of thermal underwear on.
I know. You're dressed up there like an out-of-place lumberjack.
Right.
So the title of your film comes from the exchange you had with Sarah Palin as she's signing books. And you ask her whether you can make a documentary about her, and she replies in that sort of homey, sunny way, "You betcha."
Exactly. She was very charismatic and didn't seem to have a care in the world. It seemed very welcoming, so we were really looking forward to spending time with her and her family and hanging out a bit.
Well, you did that in a way. You didn't get to see her, obviously. Maybe she looked at your bio. But you spent a lot of time with her parents and her friends, and it seems like, and I think that's what's clever about the film, is that you start off, you know, being very sympathetic, and then through the mouths of the people in Wasilla, after you've met all of her friends and family who support her unconditionally, then a whole other picture emerges.
Well, yes, I didn't go there. I made the film with Joan Churchill, and we went there with a very open mind. We didn't go there to do a hit piece, and we didn't go there to prove a particular point. I'd never been to Alaska before, and I knew very little, really, about Sarah Palin, except that she seemed to represent this enormous change that's taken place in the Republican Party, which is that the evangelical right is now so powerful, which is obviously why she was McCain's running mate in the first place. So I knew I wanted to find out more about the evangelicals and what it was like to grow up as an evangelical, which is obviously what Sarah Palin did.
Well, but isn't there an irony here? In the town of Wasilla that has a population of 6,000, there are 76 churches, and it's also the crystal meth capital of Alaska.
It's a very, very small kind of inbred community. Everybody knows everything about everybody else, which actually made the film quite difficult to make, because a lot of people, although they were very welcoming and we ate lots of moose sausage and everybody had their own recipe for making king salmon, they were reluctant to talk out because they didn't want to upset other people in the community. And the people who did talk out were people, at that point, a year ago from today, people really believed that Sarah Palin was the Republican front runner and that she stood a very good chance of getting the Republican nomination. I mean, we've shifted a long way from that. But ultimately, that was what got them to talk.
Again, I'm joined by British documentarian Nick Broomfield, whose latest feature documentary, Sarah Palin, You Betcha, opens in theaters tomorrow. So it's true that she has somewhat faded, and she's been somewhat eclipsed by Michelle Bachmann's surge.
Perry and Governor Perry, I guess.
Yes, but Bachmann is now, sort of fading rather rapidly, and there's, I think, about a day left before you'd have to file for the Florida primaries. So the clock is ticking, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of people out there wanting her to run, as they do want Governor Christie to run.
I think that's possible. I mean, I kind of think her her validity has really gone. And although I, you know, I hate to say it, I think the fact that she slept with a black man is the thing that's going to cost her most support. And although personally I found it actually rather wonderful that she could let off her own steam by maybe sniffing a bit of cocaine and letting down her hair, this is not going to be the kind of behavior that's going to go down well with her evangelical supporters, particularly in the South. And although one might consider it a rather low blow, I think it's something that's going to cause enormous problems for her political career in the future and the kind of scrutiny that she would be put through if she was indeed going to run.
Well, you're referring to the book by Joe McGinnis, right? That's a,
right.
One of the revelations in the book that
right.
She's, I think, was he a football player or a basketball player or somebody?
He was a big football player,
football.
A basketball player.
Basketball player.
Big being meaning tall.
And he and McGinnis rented a house next door to her and was there for a long time. And what was the residue in the town? I mean, you're coming after McGinnis has already tainted the well, haven't you, in terms of outsiders coming to town to trash the local beauty queen?
You know, I don't think that was really the problem. I think that there was just a fear in Wasilla of talking out because, for example, I got to know some people very well who, for example, worked in the local coffee shop. And they were frightened of talking out because most of their customers were from the Assembly of God, which was the evangelical church that Sarah Palin and her family belonged to. And they were frightened of losing those customers because if they lost those customers, they would cease to exist as a coffee shop. So there was that kind of thing. It wasn't. It was kind of almost like they were very powerful within the business community. So there were lots of reasons people didn't talk out. Also, you know, sometimes in a particular family, the kids were friends with, say, the Palin kids, and they didn't want their parents to talk out. So, you know, it's a teeny little town where loyalties ran very deep. Nothing to do with Joe McGinnis and the fence.
So the McGinnis book, of course, has prompted her to threaten to sue the book, The Rogue. And but she hasn't. Has she threatened you in any way? Or?
We received some cursory lawyer's letters at a certain point, which we didn't take seriously. And I don't think one can take the threat seriously with the book either. She would never want anyone to go on a stand and start taking, you know, the oath and having to talk, because I think she stands too much to lose. But I think it's just a saber-rattling exercise, really.
So tell me about Nick Broomfield, the Flying Monkeys.
Right.
Because
well, the Flying Monkeys are it's the term taken from The Wizard of Oz, where the flying monkeys are sent out by the Wicked Witch of the, is it the East or the West?
Well, there were a couple of them, but I think
exactly.
I think one of them was bad.
And they're sent off to harass in Palin's case, what she would do, for example, is to blog, for example, with, you know, Joe McGinnis or somebody else she didn't care for. You know, this guy has just moved next door to me and is looking at Piper playing in the paddling pool. And people would then find out where Joe McGinnis was or find out, you know, where, for example, there was a blogger called Jesse Griffin who had reported on the bus stop or fights in the Palin marriage. And the location of his gym and the location of his the school where he taught were also given in this website. And people then called up the school and said that he was a pedophile and called up and threatened to shoot him in the playground, in the school playground. His gym was, you know, contacted and he was unable to really go there anymore. Just, you know, frightening, harassing behavior, which happened fairly consistently to people who talked out. And this was something, I think, that made people very worried about stating what they thought.
Again, I'm speaking with Nick Broomfield, whose film is just coming out tomorrow, the film Sarah Palin, You Betcha, which he co-directed with Joan Churchill. Did the Flying Monkeys give you any trouble?
The Flying Monkeys didn't give us any trouble. We were actually on our best behavior in Wasilla. We really didn't ruffle too many feathers. I mean, as I say, you know, we became close to the Palin family. We became as close as we could to friends of hers. We didn't go around saying derogatory things. You know, our attempts were really to make a portrait of the community that she had grown up in and allow people to talk for themselves, to say what they thought. So, you know, we rented a house and fit it into the community as best we could, and we left just before Christmas. I came back and did a little bit more filming. But at that point, we really didn't have any trouble at all. It was only, you know, later on, I think Murdoch's people got wind that we'd been there, and some nasty pieces came out in things like the Daily, the iPad Daily. You know, Rupert Murdoch's been a great supporter of hers. So it was more in that area that we started to encounter problems. And obviously, you know, the Murdoch press is extremely powerful and has long arms and tentacles. So I think that's the kind of problem we're more likely to face.
Well, you did go to as far afield as Egypt, did you not, in terms of filming?
We did. We went to Egypt because one of the few, many, many people who went to school with Sarah Palin talked to us off record. And they told us lots of things about her, but they weren't prepared to be seen visually on film. And we really needed somebody to talk out. So we, the one school friend who would talk out, who was on the basketball team with her, called Yvonne Bachelier, lived in Alexandria, was married to an Egyptian doctor. And we went out there actually shortly before the revolution, just days before the revolution. And she told us really what it was like growing up in an evangelical community. Apparently, if you weren't, for example, in the Assembly of God, it was very hard to be on the basketball team, which is the kind of thing that I would never have imagined possible. But there was that kind of pressure put on people. And she gave us a very strong sense of just what it was like to grow up in a very, very narrow-minded community like that, as particularly if you didn't fit in. And I think that, although it was about something that happened a long time ago, it also indicates, I think, a lot about, you know, Sarah Palin's thinking and her philosophy and her outlook on life and why she holds certain views so tight and so strongly. And I think it's very, I think when you're doing these kinds of films or when you're doing biographies, I always think back to that old Jesuit maxim, give me a person for the first 7 years of their lives and I will show you the man, in this case the woman. And I think, you know, when we interviewed Yvonne in Egypt, we just got a sense of the power of religion, which I guess more and more has become such a dominant thing in Republican politics. And it's something that is so prevalent as we move towards 2012.
Well, whether or not she runs, Nick Broomfield, and of course, as I mentioned, she's running out of time to file, although I think she is very ambitious, but she's also not authentic in a very fundamental sense. And you get that in the scene where in your film where you go to Lemoore up in the Central Valley, which is right next to a big Navy base, a very conservative community where, you know, she promised to have Q&A from the audience. And, of course, everything was orchestrated and all the questions were softball. And you tried to make stand up and ask a question and they took you out and roughed you up and roughed up. Did they rough up Joan, who was shooting?
Roughed up. We actually had a couple of cameras there, and they grabbed one of the cameramen, Mark, bashed him up against the wall, and got him in a half Nelson. It was quite awful to watch. And it didn't seem to occur to them they couldn't just take the footage off him. They would need to actually get a court order in order to do so, that we still live in a democracy and, certain things have to be done legally. You can't just...
But if she becomes president, I'd hold my breath on what kind of a democracy, because that's why when I say she's not authentic, that it's quite simply that when she first had to do what all politicians have to do, which is be interviewed by the press, not just in a controlled circumstance, but in either in a press conference situation, which she's never done, by the way, never done a press conference, but she did talk to CBS and Katie Couric, ask her very reasonable questions, and she was completely incapable of answering them. And that seems to be the case, that if you actually manage to get a one-on-one with her, she's absolutely there's nothing there. But in these control situations, she's able to project this homey, charismatic character.
Well, yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And ironically, I mean, she studied media when she went to university, but is complete distrustful of the media and
but for good reason, because she, the real person, there's nothing there from what I can tell. Or if what's there is not particularly attractive. Let me not put words in your mouth. What was your final conclusion? Because the film does, as I say, it starts out very sympathetically and then through the experiences of people that have known her for years and years and worked with her, you start to get a rather dark image.
Well, I think from the sort of bubbly person that you see, and she certainly has that persona when you meet her. She's extremely engaging and has that quality that I think a lot of people mention about Clinton, that he had that ability to make you think you're the special person and to make you feel you have the undivided attention. Sarah Palin definitely has that ability. But when you speak to a lot of her colleagues, who worked with her for 20, 30 years, I mean, John Bitney was somebody, for example, who worked with her, was in the school band with her originally and worked with her when she was governor. One little thing, and you suddenly are on the enemy list. And not just on the enemy list, but and fired from your job. But, Sarah Palin seems to have that desire that you will never work for anybody else as well. And so I think, one of her distinguishing characteristics, I think, is that she has this a need that I guess Howard Bass, the pastor, talked about, to kill people, to just sort of finish them off. And I think it partly goes back to her sort of evangelical God and the devil kind of good and bad attitude. But also, I think, when I think John Bitney said, if I fire somebody, I'll give them a party and make sure that they feel good about leaving and I can have some kind of relationship with them in the future. And I'll leave them with some dignity. But she doesn't operate that way. And I think that sort of small town attitude that Sarah Palin grew up with and which you see very much in the film has simply stayed with her, both when she was governor and you could see it, too, with the way she dealt with things when she was on the VP campaign trail. And so I think the worry about having somebody like that in power, and I think the same would apply to a Michelle Bachmann or Rick Perry, is that small-town politics that they embody follows them, and one can't really have someone like that in Washington.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Nick Broomfield.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with British documentarian Nick Broomfield, whose latest feature documentary, Sarah Palin, You Betcha, opens in theaters tomorrow. He is a recipient of a number of awards, including the Sundance Film Prize, the British Academy Award, Pre-Italia, and many more. His best-known works include Kurt and Courtney, Soldier Girl, Eileen, The Life and Death of a Serial Killer, Tracking Down Maggie, and Hollywood Madam. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbons. This program's available at ianmasters.com for podcasting. You can sign up. And I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
One more light goes out.